It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's another good day in the life of a gun owner, because the problem that politicians seem to have in wanting to take away our gun rights seem to be getting curbed by the judges at the federal level, specifically in the Supreme Court, who are letting all of the anti-gun politicians in America know that a Second Amendment right exists to each and every free citizen in the United States for the purposes of self-protection. Now, up to this point, we've had a tremendous amount of anti-gun politicians throughout the entire country, who have elected to say that, in fact, our rights to have guns were not protected under the 14th Amendment, which we've talked about the 14th Amendment before. The first section is really a piece of garbage. A resolution recognizing that every human being in the United States who was born in the United States was a citizen would have worked out just fine. But no, we had to go through this garbage 14th Amendment years ago. So the anti-gun politicians are still, however, beginning to press forward, but some of these laws are beginning to fall. Something that I am really enjoying is this coming Thursday, the constitutional carry is a term that's been used a lot. The constitutional carry law in Arizona takes effect. And, of course, all the anti-gunners are jumping on board saying, well, what happens on this Thursday is all the training required to carry a gun concealed is going to be out the window. Because what happens is, this coming Thursday, what you're going to end up with is people in Arizona don't need to have any special permission to carry a gun concealed for self-protection. You don't have to get a concealed weapons permit in Arizona as of that date. You can just pack. You can already pack openly. Where I live in Nevada is the same way. You can pack openly. Same thing. Alaska has the same law as Arizona does. If you can already legally own a gun, you're not prevented by some sort of conviction due to a felony or domestic violence, or you haven't had any problems with mental instability. You can already own a gun legally. Go ahead and conceal it if you want. We don't really care. It's all good. Because you already have that right, and we recognize it. Of course, when the anti-gunners come out and they say, well, you won't have to have any training anymore. All right, well, the training was pathetic to begin with. There is no CCW training out there in any state that's really where it should be. Much right now. And then on top of that, they're saying that more people are going to die because of it. Sure. As opposed to all of the places that are anti-gun, where you don't have any gun rights, because the courts, that hasn't gone to court. We haven't sued all of those local, state, and county governments yet. But those are a lot safer in areas like L.A. and Chicago, Philadelphia. I doubt it. Stay tuned. More to come.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back, everyone. Out of Oklahoma, there's a just an excellent story titled Woman 2, Thugs 0 After Home Invasion. The lady involved here claims that owning one gun isn't enough. Now, that's what Linda Smith, a pseudonym, her last name has been changed, Protector, that's what she was thinking after two thugs broke into her Oklahoma apartment. She was holding a weapon. She initially thought it was a knife. One was holding a weapon, which she originally thought was a knife, but it turned out to be a screwdriver, and he's holding that to her throat, while the other was pacing back and forth while holding her purse and demanding her money and valuables. She screamed and was told if she screamed again, she'd be dead. Now, sounds like something out of, you know, a movie scene, doesn't it? Well, evidently the movie scene seemed to be the best training ground for a lot of wannabe thugs. It continues by saying she was doing as police recommended in robberies, complying with the robber's demands. But her Lady Smith & Wesson 38 Special, which she carries by permit, was hidden in her purse, and the purse was being held by one of the attackers. Not the situation you want to be in. When the situation suddenly got much worse, one of the robbers demanded that she take off her clothes. "Come on, what are you waiting for?" he told her, as he started to yank on her sweatpants, trying to take them off. Smith pleaded for her safety and distracted the attackers by telling her she would give them her money. She needed to get it, which was, quote, "in my purse," she told them. The robbers inexplicably allowed her to drop to her knees and crawl across the floor to her purse, which the second attacker had dropped. She reached inside, and the first shot was clear of the muzzle and into the torso of one of the attackers before she even pulled the gun clear of the purse. Four more shots followed shortly, and in the end, one of the attackers was dead, and the second was hospitalized facing a murder rap for having participated in a felony in which someone had died. You get that? She shoots one of the bad guys, and then shoots the other bad guy. Bad guy one is dead. Bad guy two is charged with murder of bad guy one, because they were together perpetrating a felony. Smith, who had an exclusive interview with WorldNet Daily, explained that she comes from a family that believes in self-reliance and courage. She says, "I choose to carry a firearm because even if I am immensely grateful for the protection from our police departments, I realize they're not God and they can't be everywhere at once. Deadly situations can happen in the blink of an eye," she said. "If you are not proactive, you are a vulnerable target." Anti-gun people would have you believe that you shouldn't be carrying a gun for self-protection. You don't need it. Call the police. They're there for you. I ask any anti-gunner who believes that this woman should not have been armed, I ask, what would you have had her do to get out of this? You wouldn't want her to have a gun. You wouldn't want her to be able to shoot the bad guys that are, at this point in time, now in the process of letting her know, hey, you're about to get gang raped by the two of us. What would you suggest, anti-gunners? I'd like you to get on the phone and call me and tell me. Or email me. Email me, bill@2aradio.com. Any anti-gunners out there, and I know you listen to this show, if you ever, and if you ever read Sun Tzu's The Art of War, Know Thy Enemy, well, I am certainly the enemy of the anti-gunners. And I know you scumbags are out there listening. So go to anonymizer.com, come up with a fake email address, and shoot me something to bill@2aradio.com. Don't even put your real name on there if you don't want to. And let me know, realistically, what this woman should have done. Because you don't want her to have a gun, you're thinking she shouldn't have a gun, and you think it's horrible that one man died and another man was seriously injured by a woman with a gun protecting herself. what would you have had her do? If she had an opportunity to open her cell phone and dial 911 and leave that open while these men raped her, is that what you were going to tell me? How long would that take effect? How would they find the cell phone? Oh, well, you know, they can do the GPS thing and find where it is. Good. Big Brother is watching. Excellent. Now, once they do that, how long until the cops actually get there? Okay. Let's say that they identify it. They're able to get the thing down. Let's say the cops can get there in, I don't know, what's the average response time? 6 minutes? 8 minutes? Something like that? Let's average it. Let's say 7 minutes. Once they get there in 7 minutes, then how long until they go inside? I read a story on this show months ago, about a guy from the time he picked up the phone in one hand, picked up his gun in his other hand, barricaded himself into his bedroom, called the cops, grabbed his gun. They were outside in 6 minutes. It was 13 minutes after that that the first cop actually went into the house. You get that? 13 minutes they sat outside and did nothing. While the bad guys were inside, one of them comes into the bedroom and gets shot and stumbles outside. That's the first time that anybody saw the cops. Okay, so this woman is facing these guys. What do? Well, you shoot them. That's what you do. You shoot them. That's the only answer. Now, if you're gonna send me some sort of an email, you anti-gunners, and say, oh, if she should have had pepper spray, okay, or a taser. There was two of them. It takes a moment for pepper spray. It's not an instant thing, like a bullet. You have to give it a certain amount of blast, and it takes a moment or so to take effect. While the other guy does what? Stand there scratching his head saying, wait for me, I want some tea, I'll wait right over here. You can get me next, that's what I'll do. Tasers only have one shot. Then you're talking about a stun gun? Okay, how about a stun gun? You have to be in physical contact for a stun gun to work. That also takes time to implement. As well as a taser. It's not instant. You got to let the bolts go through there and really jack somebody up nice and good. Okay, so pepper spray's not going to work. Taser's not going to work. Stun gun's not going to work. How about a knife? Should she have tried to get in the middle and cut these two guys? Well, cutting takes time as well. What's the instant response, the immediate effect? Shooting. That's it. And if anybody at all, anywhere, even the mothers of these two thugs, think, oh, it's so sad that these guys had to die. Okay, let's say that this woman did not have a gun, and they brutally gang raped her. And then we read the story later, because she didn't have a gun. What would those same mothers say? Would they have said, well, she had it coming because she was a woman? No, they'd say, oh, that's so terrible that happened. It's so terrible. She should have had a gun to protect herself. Unless it's my baby in there raping her. Yeah, right. That's the sad thing about some people. They have, I got to tell you, the effect of unrestricted, absolute, no matter what you ever do, love and support of someone. Guys, there's got to be a limit to that. I got to tell you, if one of my kids turned into a homicidal rapist maniac, I guarantee the love would end. The love would end. And I would feel somehow responsible that one of my kids grew up like that. That's the way I would feel about it. When other people don't feel that way because they've got some scumbag kid, in this case a dead one and an injured one, that wanted to rape somebody, let's hope to God that any parents they have, if they know they have parents, the parents know that they exist, whatever the case may be, would actually condemn them for that and say, I can't believe it. Got what he deserved. Because that's exactly what went down here. This woman was prepared. And when it came down to it, she ended up with what is known as the combat mindset. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio are back.
Hey guys, welcome back. I got to tell you, today is definitely a Monday. I get into the studio, and I get in late. I get in here with like, I don't know, a minute and 10 seconds until the show actually starts. It was a hard time getting out of the house, and I'll give you a little bit of that. But I come in here, and the show computer, which is on 24/7, is off. So I actually had to start the show without my computer assistance, which always is helpful. And then, of course, there was something that happened towards the end of the last segment, which is a total screw. So it's a Monday. Please, please bear with us. We're trying to get it together. Calling in from Georgia, we have Lee on line one. Lee, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Carnes. How are you today? I know it's Monday. Good.
It is Monday.
We're kind of having a conversation here, and we're talking. You know, you're talking about the lady who defended herself, and I had made the statement about the Supreme Court. You had told us a while back about the Supreme Court having made the statement that the police had no responsibility to protect the citizen.
Yeah, back in the 1980s.
Was that just a California case, or was that a U.S. Supreme Court case? And if it was a California case, are they taking it to the U.S. Supreme Court?
You're talking about the case where the police don't have to provide any police protection?
Right.
That was a U.S. Supreme Court case. The case itself did not happen in California. It happened out on the East Coast in the D.C. metro area. I forget exactly where. And it went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said the communities, any government is not responsible for providing any individual service, such as police protection, to any individual citizen. So they need to be able to provide it as a whole, but not individually, which means you or I, Lee, could be in our front yard getting the crap beaten out of us with bat-wielding thugs, and a cop could legally drive by and do nothing.
Okay. That was what we were talking about in our chat room here. And I couldn't tell him if it was a California case or U.S. Supreme Court. So that's what we were trying to clarify, exactly where this ruling came from.
Yeah,
Thank you, sir. I don't have
the ruling right in front of me, but I've mentioned it on prior shows. So as a matter of fact, if you're there, you're in your chat room, go to your Google site and look up Myth of Police Protection, and it will cite it.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful day.
You got it, Lee. You too. All right. So, where are we? We're back here on the Monday. Why did I get in here a little bit late today? I'll tell you why I got in here a little bit late today. Was my girlfriend and I, when we go shopping for animal related supplies, we do our best to go to one place here in Pahrump called Animal House. Great people. Old school dynamite service and great people. We board our dog there. Whenever we do, it's $10 a day. And they feed her a really high-end food. As a matter of fact, the exact same stuff that we feed her. She's got our dog has a lot of food allergies. So they feed her, we buy her stuff from there. They feed her a special diet when we take her there. They'll clip her nails and give her bath when you come to pick her up so she's not stinky. Anything you buy, they take out to your car. I don't care if you buy the smallest little chewy toy that weighs less than a postage stamp. They'll take it out to your car for you. That's just the way it goes. So now we were in there, and on Friday, they had a little Labrador puppy in there, mostly black with a little bit of chocolate coming out of the out of his fur. Probably about 9 weeks old, right at 9 weeks old, as a matter of fact. And just a cute little puppy. I mean, has some energy, but not bounding full of energy, which we certainly don't want because our dog is a little older. She's probably about, probably 6 years old now and has had some medical issues. We had her operated on just 2 weeks ago to fix her knee and her ACL, which had been disconnected for over 2 years. We've had the dog for maybe 15 months. I guess it's been over 3 years that knee's been messed up. And so anyhow, we saved up the money over the last year and got the surgery done. And so anyhow, she's in rehab now. I took her staples out on Saturday. And yesterday, we started getting her rehabilitation in. I guess we started a little bit on Saturday. Anyhow, so we end up adopting this little puppy. Cute little dog, and still haven't quite come up with a name yet. We're working with Tucker right now, but anyhow, this dog, of course, he's doesn't sleep for the entire night, and is a little whiny here and there, and scratches on the little. We set up like a the little pin thing that you can like just put him in over the top, so they can't get out and run all over and poop and pee all over the house. So, been dealing with that the last couple of days and last couple of nights. Which I'm not a fan of having my sleep interrupted, but, you know, we got the puppy, and the puppy we got so that the bigger dog would have a little bit more energy and more to do, and it's worked out. Our older dog, she has been much more energized. She gets up, she's running around a little bit on the three good legs while we're rehabbing her fourth leg, it seems to be working out. So, anyhow, it's been an interesting last couple of days around the old Carnes household, so... Anyhow, with that being said, we're going to give an update on an East Palo Alto detective who was involved in an open carry case a few months ago, and what the East Palo Alto Police Department has decided regarding his Facebook posts where he said that you should just basically gun these people down. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening right here on 2A Radio.
Listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Somebody get a silencer for this guy. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
And welcome back. Calling to chime in on today's show on line two, we have Joe from Illinois. Joe, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey, he dropped.
Joe dropped off. Okay, Joe, call back, man. You know the number. All right, out of California, we have a guy who's a detective by the name of Rod Tauson. T-U-A-S-O-N. East Palo Alto, California. Now, you may remember several months ago in California, Rod Tauson and several other cops came up on some people who were openly carrying handguns that were unloaded, which is the only way you can legally do it presently in California. Presently. Let's take the McDonald case through the court systems in California and see if we can get that handled. So he said in a post on Facebook that you got to just basically shoot these people, that it should be murder by police if they're going to be so egregious as to practice their right to carry an unloaded handgun. Well, East Palo Alto, California police have been very quiet on this. They said at the time, well, if we say anything that might be restricting his First Amendment right to be able to post on a social networking site such as Facebook. So trying to be very PC. Evidently, they like this guy. Why? I don't know. Anyhow. So what happened was the East Palo Alto police decided that what he engaged in when posting of people who openly carry unloaded firearms should be shot as inappropriate behavior, the police announced just last Tuesday. Now, that announcement was welcomed by responsible citizens of California, which supports the legal open carry practice. The group gathered at the East Palo Alto City Hall on Tuesday last week, on that evening, for a rally intended to pressure police officials to speed up their investigation into Detective Rod Twosson's comments on Facebook. What a coincidence, said one of the spokesmen for Responsible Citizens of California. He remarked in a very dry way at the rally after the investigation's results were released. He says, it's a victory for us. Inappropriate behavior? Okay. Well, Detective Twosson made his controversial Facebook comment in February. What is this now? July? Let's see, March, April, May, June, July. 5 months later. Okay. While responding to a friend's remarks about open carry advocates, in one post, Twosson joked that the advocates should get robbed if they tried to carry a gun in plain sight in East Palo Alto. Then he suggested that officers who shot a person carrying a gun openly, quote, should have pulled the AR out and prone them all out. And if one of them makes a furtive movement, 2 weeks off. Meaning, shoot them, because after you shoot somebody, you get 2 weeks off. The police department said in a statement on Tuesday that an internal investigation was launched after it received numerous phone calls and emails about the Facebook comments. After reviewing all of the available evidence, the allegations against an officer of police of East Palo Alto Police Department have been sustained, the statement said. A sustained finding means the investigation revealed sufficient evidence to clearly prove that one or more allegations in the complaint did in fact occur and were in violation of department policy. Now, it will be up to Police Chief Ronald Davis to determine what disciplinary and corrective actions to take, according to the statement, which went on to say the department is prohibited by state law from discussing disciplinary matters or releasing additional information about the probe, which is all total BS. Total BS, because what we end up with is we happen to have a city employee. Okay, this is a public employee that we're talking about. So to have a state law against talking about a public employee where, you know, taxes pay for this guy and everything that goes on would clearly be an unconstitutional law. Clearly. So the statement did not directly identify Twosson as the police employee under investigation. The spokesman from Responsible Citizens of California says he hopes Twosson's punishment is stiff. We believe his remarks constitute a serious breach of public trust. He should be relieved of his police duties, and if he is not relieved of his duties, he should not be in the capacity to deal with the public directly. Well, that's interesting. He says it's our hope that it's not just a slap on the wrist, which is exactly what it'll be, added another spokesman and executive vice president of Responsible Citizens of California. And that exec VP and other members of the group left their holsters empty Tuesday because they were at a government center. But the next time he steps foot in East Palo Alto, he says he's going to be packing. He says, next time I come to East Palo Alto, I'll have my openly carried firearm with me. Well, good for you. Now, more information about cops. This one is about a Florida Highway Patrol trooper who's now getting jail time for falsifying tickets. I have made it very clear on this show. I am a former police officer. I worked patrol for Las Vegas Metro back in the mid-90s for a couple years. And I resigned. I resigned for many reasons, not the least of which was having to deal with the small-minded Neanderthals that tend to be in police work. That's right. Small-minded Neanderthals that tend to be in police work. And anybody who's a cop, who's retired, and had a little bit of time to reflect, would not be able to refute that statement. You literally get intellectually dragged down as a police officer if you go in there with any intellect at all. You're probably not going to get pulled up, just dragged down. Actually doing police work would, in most people's eyes, involve helping keep the public safe and trying to stop crimes and arrest criminals for crimes that had been committed you weren't able to stop. That seems to be what police work should be all about. Certainly is in my mind. Certainly was when I was a cop. One of the things that I could not fathom was going through all of the training that it takes to be a police officer. Going through all of the hazing and all of the BS that it takes to be proven on the street. And then be a citation writing cop. Literally wanting to do that. To write citations over things like traffic infractions. Simple stuff. I told a story about a guy that I worked with. Really good guy. And once a week on double squad day, which happened to be Saturdays, I think, on this particular day, we worked four 10-hour shifts. So if you work 4 days a week, and then the other squad that works the same year also works 4 days a week, there's not 8 days in a week, there's only seven. So there's one day where it's double squad day. You have both squads out there. And generally speaking, what a lot of them would do is one of the squads would do training the first half of the shift and then go and hit the street later when things were a little bit busier. And then next week, the other squad would do training the first half of their shift. You know, keep up with the in-service training that you need to do. That was the good way to do it. One squad I was on for the longest amount of time. One time on a double squad day, we took the entire day, never hit the street, and actually did training the entire 10-hour shift, including an extra long lunch. I think we did that once in many, many months. So pretty weak there. Anyhow, to have cops that will sit around and just write tickets, what happens is before your shift ends, because you're working 10-hour shifts, there's three shifts, there's not 30 hours in a day, there's 24, so there's 6 hours of overlap. Some of that's inside the substation, getting ready, doing briefing, doing debriefing, things like that. But there's always time where there's at least your replacement squad out there as well. They start handling the calls for service. You start doing officer-initiated stuff. And this one guy I worked with on double squad days on this one particular shift in the northeast area in Vegas, he would check out a radar gun and sit there and run radar out of a patrol unit, as if the guys on the motorcycles running around doing that wasn't enough. And I hated that. Just the idea of most highway patrol, what they do is they sit there and they pull people over who drive too fast. And that just drives me nuts. That's not police work. And you don't need the training of a cop to be able to do that. That is not police work. It's not. That is revenue generation. And that is a pathetic excuse for having a badge and a gun. Pathetic. From somebody who's done the job. Me. Now, this disgraced Florida Highway Patrol trooper will spend 364 days in a jail for writing hundreds of phony tickets to motorists who were never pulled over for traffic offenses. So now he's a lying, lazy cop. Paul C. Lawrence pled guilty last Wednesday to 8 misdemeanor counts of falsifying public records. Prosecutors said Lawrence wrote hundreds of bogus tickets using the information of motorists he had previously pulled over. Befuddled drivers, some of whom were out of the country at the time of the alleged traffic violations, suddenly got tickets in the mail and in some cases had their driver's license suspended. Lawrence, who was based in the Miami-Dade area, wrote the tickets to boost his overall count and that were reported to supervisors, according to prosecutors. FHP has said it doesn't set quotas for tickets. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have a quota, but in case some cases, if you don't write them, you're going to be in trouble. Las Vegas Metro has a traffic division. They ride around on little motor scooters. And you are expected to write tickets. If you don't, they're going to kick you out. They don't say you have to have 10, 15, 20, 3, 7, 9 in any given day. They just let you know that's part of your job is tickets and accidents. Boom. Period. Tickets and accidents. And if you're not in an accident where somebody's going to get a ticket, you're writing other tickets. Now, this guy, Lawrence, 38 years old, must also serve 2 years of probation and pay more than $8,000 in restitution to Florida Highway Patrol and to the State Motor Vehicle Department, according to the plea deal worked out by Miami-Dade prosecutor Isis Perez and defense attorney Douglas Hartman. Originally, Lawrence was charged with 22 felony counts, each punishable by up to 5 years in prison. But the charges were reduced after he agreed to permanently relinquish his law enforcement certification. More than 200 traffic citations were dismissed as a result of the investigation into Lawrence, who was an 11-year veteran. Now, I would like to think that all police misconduct that ever happens, I read about here on 2A Radio, but the fact is, we're not even close. Now, let's talk about another rights-related issue. This is out of the state of Illinois, all right? As a matter of fact, let me see. Do I still have Joe? Did Joe call back from Illinois?
Yeah, Bill?
Joe. Hey, how are you, man?
Reason I called, this is gun-related. I lose, you know, when you get to put a sight on your handgun, you get a laser sight or something, you get these little hex head wrenches or Allen wrenches, whatever you want to call them. And I tend to lose those and pick the wrong one when I'm going to the range to sight it in and crap like that. And I was wondering if you knew of any company that had a set of these micro Allen wrenches that, you know, I can buy a couple sets, throw one in my gun bag and have it with me all the time.
You know what? I have a set of those and I will have to look to see what the name of them is. And it comes the actual case. They're all, you know, pieced together like in a multi-tool sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually yellow in color, and I keep it in my gun bag, and it has all of those little bad boys. You sent me an email, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't know if you got it or
you know what? I got it. It's just here's the thing: I get so inundated with emails, especially doing this America's Victory shoot now, that I tend to not get to things as soon as I probably should. Joe, now that you are on the front burner, let me look and find out the name of those. I'll shoot you an email back, and then for the rest of the listeners, I will update everybody tomorrow on that, and I'll get you the name of the one that I use and I keep in my range bag. And it has everything I've ever needed when it comes to gun-related sized Allen wrenches.
Terrific.
Great.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Expect an email sometime a little bit later today, Joe. Thanks for
the
call. Okay. So what we have in Illinois is out of a small town of Elmhurst, Illinois, a woman who was at a local city council meeting, rolled her eyes inside and was charged with disturbance and disorderly conduct. Can you believe that? She was charged with disturbance and disorderly conduct for rolling her eyes and sighing at something somebody on the council said. Unreal. Stay tuned, guys. More to come.
Yeah. American dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up to. As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-way radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. Here's an interesting story out of Toronto, Canada. A Canadian man became the victim of a shootout while attending a violence preservation, prevention barbecue. 25-year-old man was caught in the crossfire, this is about 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, while protecting his girlfriend and her son after gunfire erupted between men in two cars up the street from the event. So they were at a violence prevention barbecue, and the shootout of a bunch of gangbangers or wannabes or whatever between a couple of cars, one of the bullets, one of these stray to whom it may concern bullets, went and hit this guy. He was hit in the back by a stray bullet, but was expected to be released from the hospital the following day. Staff Sergeant Richard McCowan of the Globe, told the Globe and the Toronto Mail, it was, quote, just kind of a fluke that the completely unrelated violence interrupted an anti-violence barbecue. I don't know. It sucks that the guy got shot. It's just that it's one of these things like Murphy's Law. That's the part that I find humorous. I don't find it humorous that there was a couple of cars full of guys that were shooting at each other and some innocent person got hurt. Okay, violence is not the answer. But I got to tell you, if it comes to bad guys, you fight fire with fire. Who knows? Maybe that's what happened. Maybe it was some good guys in a car. They were getting attacked by bad guys. Who knows what happened? But a guy at an anti-violence barbecue got hit by a stray bullet. He's going to be fine. He says, this sergeant with the police say, it kind of emphasizes their points that we really do have to get these guns off the streets. Of course, yeah. Let's get the guns off the streets. Let's not change the mindset of the people that have the guns. Let's not give the good people the guns to, you know, handle these bad guys that you're not going to change your mindset. Let's just take the guns because they're evil, right? Yeah. Yeah, violence is an instrument of a tool, not an instrument of the mind. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because if you put a handgun in someone's hand, or a rifle in someone's hand, or a shotgun in someone's hand, they're all of a sudden going to become a homicidal maniac. Of course they are. You jack wagons. I don't understand your mental illness. I cannot wrap my head around your mental illness. But something tells me there's got to be a pill for this mental illness known as being anti-gun. It's not the guns that create the problems. It's when it's in the hands of the wrong person where problems are created.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.